You are in the apartment suite of the Baron, and you just brought back the delightful Countess Anastasia back from the zoo,
yes.
Having had a little encounter with some cassowaries and a projectile vomiting, demonically possessed militiaman. And you thought everything was all fine.
We did?
Well, I don't know if you thought everything was fine, but at least you thought you got to, like one of those zombie survival games, you thought you got back to somewhere where you can just rest for a bit.
Apparently, that's not the case.
Manfred von Killinger is there as well, because he was part of the search party. The Baron is there. Szabelski Bork, missing a tooth, having been punched in the face by some monarchists. However, during all this conversation, the laughing of some nearby Russian guests turned to a wild cackle. One of them is Fyodor Viktorovich Vinberg. That was the one who grew claws. The other was actually a woman and a princess at that, Princess Natasha Alexandrovna. She's the one that has all the faces that have popped out and are screaming. And the other thing you notice, and this is something very clear now, everyone's got these same eyes, these piercing, piggish, evil eyes. So the two of them, it's almost like whatever this demonic possession is, these eyes are the consistent thing. Everything else is florid mutations. And of course, your dear friend, the Armenian, Katorian, has also mutated in front of you. His eyes have gone piggish. His skin is covered in green suppurating sores. And he's now got a low demonic growl.
Growl.
The first thing, and this is only Safina and Eckhart, you're going to have to make a few sanity rolls in a row, because all three of these horrific changes are just mind-blasting to you. We'll do the two relatively straightforward ones first, which is the Fyodor Viktorovich, the clawed hands. Okay, of course, Safina always passes her sanity rolls.
Don't say that, you're going to jinx me.
Okay, so you both lose 1 point. I'm slowly whittling you down, slowly, slowly. It's going to take 84 more sessions, but I'll get there. Now, because it's your friend Katorian, even though the sores themselves are not in themselves too horrible, the fact that it's your friend means it's a bit more mentally troubling. So you have to make another sanity roll for seeing Katorian change that way. Safina, again, you just lose one. Eckhart, you have to roll a d4 for this.
Oh, this game is no fun if you don't eventually go insane anyway.
However, right now, there's a rather more pressing thing. These crazed Russians with their glorious mutations come lumbering forward towards everyone. Now, Katorian, for the purposes of this combat, you're going to be randomly attacking non...
PCs and random... What, PCs, NPCs, anything?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So tell me what I'm going to be attacking.
Oh, God.
So Princess Natasha Alexandrovna, the one with the many faces, including one of Lulu that's kind of almost looking at you pleadingly as her face pushes through the bursting buttons of Princess Natasha Alexandrovna's blouse. So she lunges forward. You see that she's picked up, say, a pair of scissors were sitting on the sideboard conveniently. She's grabbed it and she lunges forward to attack Szabelski Bork. And that's a hit. He just manages to evade getting stabbed with this pair of scissors as he shouts out, "Natasha! Natasha, what are you doing?"
Probably hooks the shoulder of his dinner jacket and rips it open, just barely missing him.
Perfect. So Szabelski Bork, he's a little bit kind of confused, and he sees this. In fact, I think he needs to make a sanity roll, actually, once she gets both.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, does he not see what's happening here?
Oh, but he passes his sanity roll for seeing her. He needs to make another sanity roll for seeing... Wow! Passes another sanity roll, and then... Oh my god, he just passed, because his sanity is only 45, so he got really lucky there. He does lose 3 points of sanity, but it's not enough to throw him over the edge. He pulls out his gun and then thinks better of it and instead tries to punch her, just because she's a friend of his. He doesn't want to shoot her, even though she's undergone this horrific transformation. Oh, and he fumbles.
Oh, no.
And then she just swings round. Maybe he overreaches, maybe he hesitates. And as he kind of lunges forward for her, she shoves the sharp scissors up into his abdomen, piercing his abdomen. And they're just stuck in there. And he looks down with horror at these scissors that are now sticking out of his white shirt, which is now blossoming with blood. Well, he only takes 2 damage, but he cries out in agony. He's been in the wars. He's been punched in the face. Now he's been stabbed with a pair of scissors. Now, the next person up is the Baron. You see him unsheath his sword cane.
Of course he has one of those things.
Of course he has a sword
cane. Of course he has a sword cane. He sees that his swell friend has just been stabbed, and he swings round and tries to slash at Natasha. He gets a bonus dice because they're outnumbered. She's outnumbered. It's a hard success. Now, what body part are we going for? Left leg.
Sweep the leg.
He slices through her left leg, which gets severed completely.
Oh, great.
And falls to the ground.
You have to go for the head. Aim for the head.
Maybe they're registering it, maybe they're not. We'll have to see. Princess Natasha topples over. She collapses to the ground, scrabbling and clawing at Shabelsky Bork, and her leg starts kind of articulating on the floor and trying to kick at him as well. However, it is now Manfred von Killinger. He does not stand on ceremony. He turns to you and says, "What do you mean, go for the head? Why? It's a hard shot. Go for the body, no?"
"They won't die till they're hit in the head."
Okay. So he pulls out his Luger.
I had them confused. He's the one I assumed who would have a Luger.
He has a Luger.
And he looks around. He's trying to think, which one should I attack? So he strides over, points his Luger down at her head, steadies his aim. Oh, dear. And misses. That is a terrible shot. Maybe just the shock of everything. In fact, I'm going to make him do the sanity rolls now as well. What's his sanity score? Oh, dear. He fails. As he gets close, the screaming mouse, he finally sees what they are. He's failed his sanity roll. Oh, my God. And he's going to have a bout of madness. He's about to have a bout of madness.
This is going from bad to meltdown.
Oh, this is really not going well. Amnesia. All right, so he just forgets who he is. So he goes, what am I doing here? And then his hand kind of hangs limply by his side, and he just goes to sit down in an armchair to try and collect his thoughts. So Fyodor Viktorovich Vinberg, the one with the claws, he's going to attack someone. So seeing the Baron having sliced off his friend's leg, he lunges for the Baron.
Well, they're all attacking NPCs.
Yeah, they're all attacking. You guys can just run, maybe. So he's just going to go with his claws, and he misses. He's going to fight back. The Baron's going to fight back. He just needs a regular hit. At first, I'm going to roll his intelligence to see whether he had the wits to hear what you were saying. Yes, he did. And he turns around and says, "Take that, you fiend!" And he hits. Just. It's only a... Oh, actually, no, because he's going for the head, so there's a penalty dice on that. So he's aiming for the head. Yes, still, it is a hit. So basically, that they assign each body part as a certain percentage of the total hit points. And if you get that number, then you've decapitated it. So he just needs to get a 3 or above. Yes, he does. And you see him just cut through Fyodor Vinberg's neck, and the head goes flying off. But you realize that it's not just enough to cut the head off, because the head is still alive and kind of opening and closing its eyes and mouth, and the body is still standing and staggering around. I think you realize you've got to completely destroy the head, not just decapitate it.
That's what I did last time, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so now it's Safina and Eckhart, your turn. Both of the creatures, other than your friend, have been disabled in some way. What do you want to do?
Marco, does it take a turn to roll an occult to see if there's like anything that can be done for him?
I wouldn't say it was an occult. I would say you could roll an intelligence roll, which is probably better.
Yeah, I'm going to roll that. I actually have better occults, but it's okay. I'll roll.
Oh, okay.
Is that just free? Can I do that too?
Yes, yeah. So, Eckhart, you remember the maid, Travel. Remember what happened in the apartment when you knocked her out? And then when she woke up, she seemed to have regained her own, you know, self.
Oh, well, I don't know that, so I'm going to instead take my rake and smash Natasha's head.
yeah, absolutely. You'll actually get 2 bonus dice on this.
Ooh.
Well, you didn't need it. You would have got it, but damage 0? Oh, no.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know what the damage for a rake was.
Oh, I see. It'll be a D6. Do you have any damage modifiers? Do you have any positive or negative? Okay, all right, so roll a D6. Okay. So you basically slam your rake down, and the teeth of the rake go underneath her jaw, and you just pull the head off.
Oh,
nice.
You rake the head off somehow, and the head rolls over the carpet towards the fireplace.
Yikes.
Okay. Eckhart.
I guess I'm going to try to, like, pistol whip the Armenian and knock him out.
Okay, now. Very good, very good.
I feel like Katorian would have approved of that move.
He probably would have. Now, here's the deal. At this point, Katorian is, he's still a pulp hero. Typically, if you're just attacking an NPC and you're trying to knock them out, as long as you sort of hit them, you can do it. But I'm not going to allow you to do that with a pulp hero. No matter that, he's been mutated. It's going to take quite a bit of effort to knock him out. So we'll just do it with, you'll have to make a regular roll and roll the damage, and then we'll have to see. So this will be a fighting brawl roll, remember?
Yeah, which I suck at. Yes. I really should have put points in that.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah.
Right, so you whip out your pistol and hold it by the barrel and try and give Katorian a good clonk on the head.
Yeah, I don't know if I hold it by the barrel. I, use it like a knuckle duster and miss terribly.
Oh, yeah, you miss terribly. So Katorian, you will get a chance to fight back, which of course you would do, wouldn't you? You're a monster right now.
Well, let's put it this way, I guess, but I have the blackjack in my hands, and if I'm like demonic, I would I would swing it like wildly and demonically. Does it have to be at him, or would it be at anybody like random?
Oh, no, it would have to be at him. Because it's a fight back. It's fighting back.
It's a fight back. Okay, I got the blackjack in my hand, so I swing that thing.
Yeah, okay.
I don't get to dodge, right? Oh my god.
Oh shit, and you did 8 damage?
8 damage, oh my god. The blackjack does a D8?
Yeah, they're really dangerous.
Hang on, really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Like a gun does a D8.
A gun does a D8. Now I've got it here, hold on. That sounds a little bit, Oh shit, it does.
It does. It's, yeah, because it's like lead weighted.
That's insane. All right.
Well, I've got a ton of hit points though. So.
Okay, you take a massive blow to your head. Right.
That doesn't trigger a major wound, does it?
No, there's no major wounds in pulp, which is a great thing. Right, Katorian, roll a d10 now to see who you're actually going to attack as your action.
Okay.
You're just going to lay waste to everyone. All the others are being chopped into pieces, but... Wow, you were literally the worst person to have as this. Well, the good thing is you attacked the Baron. Tell me what you do.
I like the Baron.
Yeah, but at least it's not your friends.
I leap high with my blackjack swinging overhead, like right on top of his cranium, is what I'm trying to do.
Okay, make an attack roll.
Like to pound his head into a pulp.
Oof.
And I know. Okay, so... And of course, that one I roll badly.
That one you fail. Okay. But Katorian... What I'm going to say now is, given that the other two demons are incapacitated, you've got a very clear objective now that you've kind of swung your blackjack a bit. You want to get through that door, and you want to get to Countess Anastasia.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, the others, no one knows that at this point. I'm just telling everyone out loud, but that's going to be your next move.
It's not really a spoiler. We know she's the target of all this.
Yeah. Right, back to the top of the round. Princess Natasha, whose head is off and whose leg is off, well, her body parts can no longer see, as it were, because they don't have eyes, but they're going to wildly try and lash out. The head rolled back towards the fireplace and is now sort of face down, so it can't do anything, but it's kind of trying to chew the carpet, basically, as it were. You can see that it's kind of working its mouth around the edge of the carpet to try and pull itself towards the back into the action. The fireplace is blazing right now, by the way, which you notice.
Oh, that's a hint. That's a GM hint.
Well, you would notice
it. I caught it.
I mean, I only had to tell you twice, that's all right. But the body and the leg can still attack. Again, I'll just roll randomly. They're not going to have a very effective attack because obviously she can't see. So the first one is against the Baron. Wow, he really is the target. Oh, and the leg tries to kick out towards Safina. Maybe tries to trip you up. Maybe that's what it's trying to do. Safina, given that you noticed that the head is near the fire, would I be correct in assuming you might try and run over and toss it into... Okay, so maybe that's what's happening, and the leg's going to try and trip you up.
Oh.
So you start...
The leg can't see.
The leg can't, but it can still make an attempt because the head can sort of see. It's going to have a penalty dice, though.
Okay.
In fact, technically, if you're blind, you should have 2 penalty dice. So I'll do it with 2 penalty dice. Yeah, so it's a total failure. So the leg kind of crooks upwards, like bends at the knee and tries to kick out at you as you're rushing over to the towards the fireplace, but misses completely. You could kind of whack it with the rake on the way through if you really want to be vindictive, but it's up to you.
Nah, I'm just going to kick the head in when it's my turn.
All right. So it's not going to be your turn yet because it's still the Fyodor Vinberg. He who is also, I believe... Now, what happened to him? Did he lose a head as well? He did. He did. Because Von Killinger tried to fire down at the princess and missed. So Vinberg's head is off as well. Okay, so the head is going to try and bite Eckhart. Maybe it's kind of, without you noticing it, the head kind of rolled near to your foot and it's going to try and bite your foot. Okay?
Ow.
But just manages to get a bit of shoe leather. And now you've got the teeth are clamped around the end of your boot. It hasn't done any damage, but you've got the head on the end of your boot right now. So you could do something with it from there.
Okay.
But it's certainly slowing you down if you're going to try and get to Katorian in your go. But that's the two creatures. Then we've got the Baron. Okay, he's going to take his sword cane. He looks around. He sees the head attached to your boot. The Baron looks at you and says, "Killing blow?"
I'd rather try to knock him out.
No. He's talking about the head.
Foot. Oh, sure, yeah.
He says, "Well, lift your leg up a bit more."
Okay.
And then he gets his sword cane out. And he's going to try and slice the top of this creature's head. Like, slice the top of the head off.
Yeah, hopefully I don't lose a toe. Yeah.
Okay. Now, he's going to get a bonus dice because this thing is held firm. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, I thought that was a... It's actually a 15. It's not as good as it looks.
Oh, right,
but
right.
It's still a good hit. And I'm going to say, if he does enough damage here, he's going to just, like, obliterate the head. He just slices clean through the skull. The brain is now neatly bisected, and it falls to the floor, and he just stamps on it with his foot to smush the life out of it. Right. Vit von Killinger, he sees Katorian heading towards Anastasia's door, and he says, "No, you will not kill her." And he raises his Luger.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
This is going bad.
He's going to fire his Luger at you. I mean, obviously, you're a monster right now. You've got that insane look about you. He's going to fire three times at you. He's going to have a penalty dice on each one, so... First one is a miss. Second one is a hit.
Oh, dear.
Third one is a miss. Okay, well, that's fortunate. But you take... Oh, boy. You take 10 damage. He shoots you clean in the back as you're staggering forward.
Luger's a D10.
Yep. Yeah, Luger's a D10. It's powerful. It's you guys. Although, oh, actually, no, it's Shabelsky Bork. I forgot about him. He's going to try and tackle you. He's going to try and grab you, Katorian.
Mm-hmm. So.
And that's a 5. That's an extreme. He's not trying to do any damage to you. He's just trying to hold you down, stop you from getting to her. This could be the best thing for you, actually, long run. You can try and fight back, but of course it's going to be very, very hard.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'll roll my fighting brawl roll here and fail.
Yeah. Okay, so... Maybe the shot, as the shot goes into your back and you stagger forward and you're thrown off your stride, you're kind of rugby tackled from the other side by Shabelsky Bork. I guess he pulls the scissors out of his abdomen and then he rushes towards you and he says, "For Mother Russia!" He dives at you. And you're now pinned to the floor, but I think you're probably quite a bit... Oh, no, you're not that strong, are you? He is stronger than you, so you're in a grapple now. Okay. Finally, Safina.
I want to kick the head into the fire.
Okay. I mean, you could try and pick it up as well and throw it in. That would be probably easier.
Okay.
But whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I will. I guess I'll pick it up.
Okay, so you rush forward, pick up the head. It's pretty straightforward to pick it up.
Do I need to do anything to succeed?
I'm just going to say, you know what? Make a power roll.
Oh, I have good power.
You have good power. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Do you want to spend some luck on that?
Luck. That's so embarrassing.
Or you could push it. You could push the roll.
How does that work?
You just roll again.
Oh, I'll just do that.
Just don't fail.
Oh, my
no.
Fucking... No.
Wow. Okay, spend luck now.
Now I can't.
You can't spend luck on a push roll.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Double 99.
Oh, I so regret suggesting you do that. I mean, that's insane. All right, so you pick the head up, and you start moving towards the fireplace to put it in, and then something comes over you. The head opens its eyes, and it says,
"Don't do it, Sifina. We're friends, remember? We're friends."
And you can't do it. You can't do it. You're just frozen there.
That's really awkward.
So I've turned into a demon. She's talking to a head, to a beheaded head.
Right. Eckhart, what do you want to do?
All right, I'm going to walk over to...
You see everything that's happening.
Yeah. The Armenian has been tackled and is on the ground, right?
Mm.
And I see Sifina not able to deal with the head. Okay, yeah. I walk over to Sifina, and I'm going to put my gun against the head's, like, temple, and put a bullet in it.
Okay.
Since it's point blank, I would get no penalty if I fire three times.
No.
Or...
In fact, given that the head is being held straight, you would actually get a bonus dice on each shot.
Can I fire one, and if it's not like only not waste ammo, basically?
You can fire one and then get two bonus dice. Yes.
I see.
I mean, how many rounds you got?
I think I assume I reloaded from since last time.
Yeah.
So I have 8.
Oh, okay. What do you want to do?
Fuck it, I'm gonna fire 3 times.
Okay. Goodness me. Well, you didn't need to.
But now I have to, right? I can't save the ammo because it just my target explodes on the first shot.
Yeah, no, just keep firing. Keep firing. Just, I want to see. Okay, so extreme.
I actually missed on the last one.
And you miss on the last one. Yeah. A hard. Okay. Yeah, so your first shot actually does 14 damage. And the head just explodes. And pieces of it just go shooting backwards into the fireplace. Sifina, you suddenly come out of your daze, not knowing what on earth just happened to you.
Okay.
And the head is gone. But at this point, Katorian.
Yes?
You sense enemies converging on you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then suddenly, you feel yourself again.
I feel myself again?
Yeah.
But enemies are converging on me.
You sense, or you see... Manfred von Killinger striding over with his Luger out, saying, "I will put him down."
Okay, so I pull out my Luger.
No, you're grappled. You're grappled.
Okay, so I'm like, "What do you want to kill me for, you fascist cunt or whatever? I don't know." Something like that. You know, as myself.
I think you're going to need to make that intimidate roll.
Okay, intimidate.
Make sure you pass
fingers
it.
Fingers crossed.
Wow!
Yes, I was able to summon all of my intimidating nature.
And von Killinger pauses for a second, and then Shabelsky Bork says, "Look, these sores have gone. His eyes have gone normal again. He looks okay now. Are you okay, Katorian?"
"Of course I'm okay. What are you holding me here for?"
"You are about to kill the Countess. Why you think we held you down?"
"I would never kill the Countess. That's absurd. I'm the one who enlisted my friends here to go find her and help her."
"Neat. This demon who inhabits the souls of these people. This is what wants to kill the Countess."
And everyone is kind of standing in shock and looking at the bloody carnage around.
That much is clear. We suspected, really, everyone in this room when we were attacked earlier. But clearly, it's because we were getting close to finding the Countess.
Shabelsky Bork now is really feeling that stab wound, and he sits down.
Okay. Who's got first aid?
He says, No, do not worry about me. This is troubling.
I should at least put something on it to staunch the bleeding. Let me find you a wrap. I'm going to tear up some bed sheets or whatever the fuck. something.
Okay. Do you want to make a first?
Oh my god!
Oh no! And as you wrap them around, you push really hard, and suddenly a whole load of more blood comes out. He goes, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. Stop it. Get away from me. Get away from me.
I actually know how to do this, but I'm like held on the ground and I have a bullet wound. So I guess maybe...
You've been let up at this point, and everyone is kind of just like, I guess, sitting down trying to collect themselves. Who has taken injuries? I guess
I've taken the heaviest injury.
I've been bashed over the head.
You took a staunch batch of... Yeah, I took a bullet.
Right. Killinger says, wait, I will call the medic. I have a man on standby for, you know, this kind of thing.
Of course he does.
And he goes over to the telephone and he says, Dr. Mengele?
Yeah, I knew it.
Please, can you come around right away? We have some small scratches and grazes that need a little
wound
bit of treatment.
Wound grazes, yeah.
And he says, no, no, no. There will be no need for your special equipment. No. And he puts the phone down.
God, that's pretty sick. I don't know why I came up with that, but that's pretty sick.
We've got a Nazi in the room. I mean, you know, they might be...
Jesus Christ. A young... The heroic adventures of young Dr. Mengele.
Saving PCs lives.
So Killinger says, you'll be here in minutes. Now, this demon, this is not good. This demon has the ability to enter and leave people at will. Show anywhere. Take over anyone. One of us. Easily.
But not the Countess herself. And not all of us at once.
No.
Also, when the Countess was in hiding, it came after us. Couldn't go after her directly. This all tells me that we face a human enemy as well as a demonic one. Something is directing this entity. Some person with limited information and limited resources to attack us.
Maybe so, but...
We're just a omnipotent demon pursuing her. How could she possibly have survived this long? What other enemies does she have? Who else?
Well, all the Bolsheviks, any Bolshevik you wish to care, but Bolsheviks, they are not... I don't know. They are pragmatists.
Any that dabble with the occult?
At this point, you see all three of the men sort of looking a little bit sheepish.
No, not us.
And then Shabelsky Bork. That bitch stung me really good, real good in the stomach. I can't get the answers. He says, but this demon... It must... I agree with you, Mr. Eckhart. It must have had some kind of human component or instruction. If it comes after us like this, in this specific way. But the eyes... Did you notice? All had these eyes. You as well, Mr. Katorian. That makes me... reminds me of something.
Wasn't there something about pigs?
Yeah. Da, da.
What am I?
Pigs.
And then his eyes kind of linger on the coffee table. And then he grabs the Spiegel. Maybe it was yesterday's edition. And he says, da, the eyes. And then he tosses it down. And there you all see the photo of Carl Grossman.
Oh, Grossman.
The serial murderer.
And with those very same eyes staring out at you malevolently from the photograph in the paper.
Could Grossman have been infected by this demon? Is that perhaps the reason that he went on his spree?
He's somehow connected. Was he already executed? Or is he supposed
to
be?
Yeah, he was executed 3 days ago.
Right. Just about when all this started.
Yes.
Perhaps when he was executed, that freed the spirit to find a new host, or hosts.
Shabelsky Bork says,
Da, it is possible. I think something else is also possible. I know something of these matters. My guess is that Grossman performed some dark ritual which culminated in his death, thus turning him into a demon. It is his spirit that inhabits you. Now, why? How? Why not Anna herself? That I do not know. If you can, what has Grossman been doing in these years leading up to this? How could he have entered your body, Mr. Katorian? How come he can't enter Anna's body?
No idea. Well, there was something that happened. What was it exactly? Or you failed a check somewhere. And then there was a mention of the porcine eyes. Was it when we were at his apartment? Did something weird happen there? Do either of you guys remember?
I remember we went to his shed out in the garden colony, and we noticed that he had been making sausage and sending it all over Berlin.
Right, yeah.
All that smoked sausage.
Right, so he's killing people, making them into sausage. But no, there was something that happened to you. I forget what it was, but it was like you either like touched something or did something or went somewhere or...
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. I mean, you got the doll, remember, as well, that creepy doll.
Yes. Yeah, there was a creepy doll.
Anyway, you can let that one simmer for a bit, because Shabelsky Bork says, "Then no place in this city is safe now. We must be aware of that. Something must be done. Something powerful, dramatic." And then Killinger stands up and he says, "Yeah, but there is one thing this demonic entity did not calculate," he says with a wry grin. And he looks at the three of you. He says, "I believe you have earned my trust."
No,
yeah?
We have also.
Well, thank you.
He says, "Tomorrow morning, as the sun rises on the solstice, my operatives are to enact a blood sacrifice. A man of light and goodness, taking the place of the ancient Teutonic sun god Baldur, will give his life for the future fortune of the fatherland." And then he looks over at Shabelsky Bork. "Am I right in remembering, my good Piotr, that Saturn's day is held to be particularly appropriate for rituals of banishment?" And you're realizing now that these guys are deep into some dark shit.
Yes! He just told us, "Oh, I trust you now, so blood sacrifice."
We're going to blood sacrifice one of our own tomorrow.
I mean, it sounded like they're talking about a willing sacrifice, at least. So, you know, yeah. We're just going to not ask any more questions. That's what.
You can all make an occult roll if you have a occult skill at this point.
Don't, really. This is the only guy I've ever had who doesn't.
Did my roll go through?
Yeah, you fell by 5. Do you want to spend 5?
I'll spend the luck, yeah.
Okay. So, you know that the Baldur sacrifice, it is almost like a renewal sacrifice. Like a, not exactly a willing victim, but it's all part of this kind of way of bringing in the new sun, the new age in Teutonic mythology. And it would sometimes be willing. People would willingly go to be sacrificed for the continuation of the tribe, of the society, which is... kind of creepy.
Yeah,
fucked
so
up.
We're dealing with some, yeah.
Anyway, after talking about the rituals of banishment, Shabelsky Bork nods agreement. You see, he's confirming that tomorrow is Saturn's day, is held to be particularly appropriate for rituals of banishment. And then Killinger continues, "Then I propose we kill 2 flies with 1 strike. We enact a banishment ritual and use the magical power unlocked by Baldur's sacrifice to rid ourselves, and the rest of the city, of course, of this terrible spirit, once and for all." And then he looks around at everyone in the room. "What say you all?"
"What do you need from us?"
"I'm pretty attached to most of my body parts."
Yeah.
"Oh, no. Do not worry. Do not worry. None of you are Baldur's sacrifice. That is a special person."
"No, I meant, what assistance do you need?"
"No, Shabelsky Bork can tell you. But first, I think my man is here." And in the door comes a
Actually, I have no idea what Mengele looked like. Probably a very small, weaselly, just grubby, dirty, coated man with a beaten up old medical bag.
Oh, not at all.
thick, cracked glasses.
Oh, he's like a good looking dude.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. You know, like in a Nazi way, he looks like a...
Joseph Mengele.
I don't know when this picture...
Oh, yeah, he was actually a... Well, the angel of death, Jesus Christ. Having said that, he would only have been 11 at this point.
Oh, well, good.
It's his uncle.
He's like Doogie Howser, MD.
Oh, God. This is awful.
This is awful. An 11-year-old, no, let's just assume...
A different Dr. Mengele.
This is the kind Dr. Mengele, his father, let's say. This is his father, yes, perfect. The Dr. Mengele the Elder. All right, he comes in, and everyone can actually get back a d4. So everyone can roll a d4 hit points to get back.
Well, that helps a little.
Yes. All right, so are any of you still in pretty bad shape? If you are, he can...
I'm in bad shape.
Yeah, I think you are.
I'm down 8.
I'm at 21 of 31. I don't know if that's bad shape or not.
Not terrible. I think Katorian on 14 is in need of a bit more. He can spend a bit more time on you. And Marco, you already rolled two sets of D4, so we'll take the second one.
Oh, okay.
So you get another 2 back as well. But whilst your wounds are being tended to by the Dr. Mengele the Elder, you see that Shabelski Bork seems to be very infused by this idea. He's tremendously excited by this plan. And he says, I have a ritual that we can perform. It is given in the pages of De Vermis Mysteries, but I believe I can remember it off by heart. If you give me a few minutes to concentrate, and here is what we will need. We will need at least 3 of you to take part. Now, let me think and try and remember the steps in the process.
And he's groaning from his wound. He takes a pen and paper, seats himself at a glass-topped coffee table, rubbing his brow in thought and jotting down some notes. So, you've got a few minutes to decide whether you're going to take part in this.
This is sounding weird.
Yeah, why not? I mean, what else are we doing here?
I mean, you've had probably the most first-hand experience with this demon Grossman, if we can call him that. You know how powerful and dangerous he is.
Sounds like it.
Yes, but we want justice for all the people we had to kill.
Yes.
Your minions, what is the good of this? What is this? What's in this for us? All I know, I suppose I don't want the Contessa to die. We endeavor to save her, so... But somebody convince me that this is a good idea.
I mean, the alternative is not finishing what we set out to do. What did we set out to do, actually? Why are we doing this?
I mean, originally you were being paid by, Shabelski Bork to find the Contessa, the Countess Anastasia, which you did, but you've now been dragged into something far darker, far more dangerous, and you realize that this is something that could, if not stopped, will just, you know, cause untold horror and death in the city.
Well, I definitely don't want to see demons running about. That's bad for business.
Also, it attacked us when we were alone. Like, we don't know. It might just wipe us out because we know too much now. Like, I don't know. I'm not cool leaving this thing running around because I won't be able to sleep ever again.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I just feel like the Armenian needs a reason. He's not a joiner. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, but...
And Killinger, seeing that maybe the look on your face shows that you're feeling like bailing out, he comes over and he says, Mr. Katorian, I understand that you are a pragmatic person, not taken to doing anything without adequate reward. Your help will be appreciated by the council, the organization council. You may not have heard of us yet, but we will be a force to be reckoned with in this city over the next few years, and having our backing would be very useful for you.
Okay.
For the fatherland.
Nod my head, thinking at the same time, like, I'm an immigrant. You guys don't like people like me. I know you don't like people like me, but I won't say. Yeah.
seemingly intuiting that, he says, oh, remember, the Organization Council has friends, many different types of friends.
Right.
And if you worry about this sacrifice, this Balder sacrifice, it must occur for the ritual to have full efficiency. What is the loss of one life to save the city? Pragmatic.
That's gross, but yeah. I nod my assent gravely and shudder.
And then, at that moment, Shabelsi Bork cries out, "Done! I have got it! I have got it!" And you see that he's scribbled down this very detailed note. This is, we are about to delve into a ritual. So I've shared it with you all. Okay, so here's what he says.
The ritual performance. First, prepare the area. Inscribe a summoning circle using chalk or maybe traced in dust or soot on the floor. We must have three. Minimum is three throughout the entire ritual. If any less, if any leave the circle during this time, it destroys the ritual. All must stand within the circle. Now, we need an object, a fetish, if you will, with a significant magical charge on it. Anything that has been invested with a powerful emotion, the more dramatic, the better. Now, you have been in and around Grossman's places of activity. Do you have anything that might suffice?
Did we pick up anything when we saw the body in the tree?
Yes, that the doll.
Oh, yeah.
The doll.
A doll? What? Show me this thing.
Which one of us has it? I don't think I have it.
Okay, Eckhart. Yeah, you've got it in your satchel.
Yeah, I pull it out and I say, we found this. Was it at the apartment or the garden?
No, this was at the
in the garden shed belonging to Grossman.
Huh. Hey, it looks perfect. What a disgusting thing it is. So, this thing we must put inside the circle. We must sit in the center of the inscribed space. Now, more of you may participate, but the number must be divisible by three. Don't ask why. It is in the book. I trust it. So, others may stand by, guarding the sacred area, ready to step in and replace those if you are, for some reason, unable to continue. This is what we say. Facing east, assume the wand posture, declare Ge. Raise the arms at the sides, declare Londo. Touch right shoulder with left hand, declare Od Mikalzo. Touch left shoulder with right hand, declare Od Boost. Keeping arms crossed, bow head and declare Go Head. Make the gesture service. At the first point, declare Exarp. At the second point, declare Oro Iba Aosbi. Turn to face north. Make the gesture, declaring Nanta. At the first point, Mordial Chigtcha. At the second. Turn to face west. Make the gesture, declaring Hakoma. At the first point, Muf Ars Gaiol. At the second. Turn to face south. Make the gesture, declaring Bitom. At the first point, and Oipia Podokse. At the second. Repeat until the sun rises in the east.
Okay.
Oh my.
There you go. That is a real ritual that we're now learning. That's nuts.
I'm half seeing like people in like creepy white robes doing this, and then the other half of me is like remembering the holy hand grenade of Antia. One, two, five, three, sir, three. Okay.
Have any of you seen Midsommar, the film?
No.
Oh, okay. This is very reminiscent of that. If you ever want to see a really creepy horror film that it gets very mixed reaction, Midsommar, it's very interesting. Anyway.
So we have to keep repeating this until the sun rises in the east.
Yes.
But it doesn't say we wouldn't have to start.
Well, you have to start at midnight.
Oh.
You have to start at midnight, which is in about 30 minutes. Yeah, you got to do it for... But
so
the
we
good gotta, thing
like,
is...
keep this up for like 5 hours without a break?
Yeah, because the good thing is it's summer, so sunrise is about 5. But yeah, you've got to keep this up for 5 hours. And Shabelsky Bork says, no, this is true. We must enact this ritual precisely beginning at midnight.
in half an hour. And important, it must be under the open sky. We must have a view of the sky.
Because it's a solstice ritual thing.
Yeah, and the Baron looks at his pocket watch. That's only half an hour from now.
Is there a courtyard we can use, maybe? Or somewhere where we won't be disturbed?
Shabelsky Borg nods and says, ideally, we need a location that is of importance to the demon. Any ideas?
Oh, his house?
Outdoor. His apartment has a skylight. This big window.
It does.
Would that serve? Or do we need to be fully open?
No. You must just see the sky. Huh, that seems like a very efficient place.
I believe he committed his murders there, so.
Yeah, but there are other gardeners there. And...
No, I was in the apartment.
Oh, the apartment. Oh.
There's that landlady, but...
No matter. We go now. We don't have time.
Mengele finishes patching up Katorian.
Right.
And the Baron says, I will call for my horch, Sadan. We can get 8 people in it at a pinch.
Shabelsky Bork tries to get up, but you realize he's cut through some muscle ligaments in his stomach, and he cries out in pain, and he clearly is unable to carry on. But the rest of you are able to go, so Killinger, the Baron, Mengele can come with as well as a replacement, and the three of you, which gives you a total of 6 people. And as Shabelsky Bork said, as long as you have divisible by 3. Now, I'm going to leave it up to you guys to decide how you're going to run this ritual. You know, who is going to be doing it? Are you going to have everyone doing it?
Well, we need 3, right?
Well, it can be 3 or 6, and there are 6 of you. But of course, if it's 6, then you're all doing it. The alternative, and as he said, if someone has to drop out, if someone is unable to carry on, they can be replaced by someone. But how do you want to do it?
I nominate Safina. She seems to be the most psychically aware.
I am pretty psychically aware, it's true.
I think we should have 3 of us performing the ritual, 3 of us ready to sub in or also deal with anything that comes up. So, but also, none of us can leave the circle during that time, right? Like, we have to all be inside, all 6 have to be inside the circle.
No, if you're doing it with 3 and then 3 subbing, the 3 can be outside ready to step in if someone gets faint or something happens to
them. I see. So you can step into the circle, but no one can step out. If anyone leaves...
There always has to be 3 people inside, or a number divisible by 3.
So does that mean to sub someone in, do you need to like jump across at the exact same time?
It's like tag team wrestling, basically.
Yeah, you know? Right.
I'm sure it's not like literally to the millisecond, but as long as it's, you know...
Right, they have to
more or less, yeah, tag in, tag out kind of thing.
Right. For like perform the next step of the ritual in time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. That's a good way of putting it. And as you're leaving, Baron says, good luck. I will guard Anna during this time. I have my pistol.
Don't let anyone in. No servants, nothing.
No, yet. I say the last 2 words for the Grand Duchess and myself.
Oh, my.
He says with a grim smile. And right before you leave, he offers 1 last piece of advice. Well, actually, there's a couple of things that happen. Oh, actually, you know what? With the Killinger thing. No, someone's going to have to persuade him. Killinger actually, which is going to be a problem because it means it will only be 5 of you, but not necessarily a problem. But Killinger says, I must prepare for the great sacrifice tomorrow. I cannot come with. If any of you want him to come with, you'll have to persuade him. So you can say what you want. Sorry.
I would rather not have a very reluctant participant for something like this.
If I'm going to be involved in this obscene ritual, then for the greater good, then you who persuaded me to do this had best be on this.
Okay. Now, I don't think you can't intimidate him into doing this. So someone either needs to persuade him or fast talk him.
Okay, because I can't really do that.
You're not really a persuade-y type, are you? I don't think any of you are you?
No, I think I am pretty good, actually. Oh, no, not persuade.
You're quite good at fast talk. Do you want to fast talk him into it?
Sure. He is right, you know. You did talk him into it. It seems only fair that... besides, it won't take long. Only till dawn. I thought you said your operatives were on top of it. They seem like competent fellows.
Yeah.
Come on, you'll do it. He'll do it.
I do remember that time you punched my man. Don't think I haven't forgotten.
He is a twat, though, isn't he?
Well, there's a lot riding on his skinny, scrawny little shoulders then.
Mm.
Okay, I agree, I come with.
All right, so you can take your fast talk. Excellent. So Shabelsky Bork goes up to you, Safina, and he kind of limps over to you, holding his stomach. And he says,
I sense that you have a special aura.
I do. I've always said so.
He says, I sometimes wear this for good luck. And he takes something off his neck, and it's a lead cross. Well, it looks like a cross initially, but then you realize it's got a loop at the top instead of just the, you know, straight bit. And you know these sorts of things. And this is pretty common knowledge. It's actually an Egyptian ankh. And he says, according to the writings in the Wormy's Mysteries, this will aid you if you wear it. And he hands it to you.
I will take it, and I will put it on.
Yes, well, you don't know one way or the other, but anything that can help, I'm sure will be useful. And right before you leave, he gives you all one last piece of advice. He says,
your ritual, it will be troubling and disturbing is what it says, but it will be much more effective if blood is shed over the fetish or objects very dear to you are destroyed. Do these things at the beginning of the ritual. Or once on the hour, every hour. It does not need to be a lot of blood. Just a little.
As he waves you off.
Oh, great.
Okay.
This keeps getting better and better.
So you head back to Carl Grossman's apartment. I think a feeling of dread is descending on all of you as you head towards Friedrichshain. In the Horch sedan. I have no idea what Horch sedan is. I really want to see what it looks like. Okay, this is a little bit later, so it's probably not, you haven't got one as cool as this. You're being driven in style to Grossman's apartment. You push your way in past the complaining, busybody woman who you encountered before, and she shouts up, I'll call the authorities! But you just all ignore her. And then you head up, and there, that dormer window, that skylight, showing the black sky above and the moon and the stars. So, Shabelsky Bork gave you the paper. Killinger is holding it, says, first, the Megsi circle. I have a piece of chalk here. And you draw this large circle on the floor.
Do I need to roll an art?
No. Yeah, I'll let you roll it. Let's see if you can draw a perfect circle.
Oh, will that help our chances? Oh my god!
No, you can't.
I don't do large scale murals. I only do...
Do you want to push the roll?
Yes, I'm going to push it. God damn it, that's embarrassing.
Oh my god, you only just.
Bad.
So you finish drawing it and then you realize that actually move away and you realize it wasn't perfect. So you rub out a part of it and draw it back in. And now you have a perfect circle on the floor. So who are the three? Von Killinger says, so who are the three? The drei? That will be inside the circle.
It'll be me and you guys.
Is it going to be the three of you?
I'll do it.
Or should we have us be standing by? Well, maybe we should. I mean, it's 5 hours we have to do this. We're just going to plan on rotating.
Okay.
To give a break.
That seems good. So who's going to start then?
I will start.
To have Safina and the two NPCs start. You can get it in the library or journal.
I'm going to stand inside the circle with the fetish sitting in the center of the...
So you grab...
Yeah.
Mm.
So you grab the fetish and you put it inside the center
of
the circle.
When she puts it in, I take out my penknife and make a little cut on my hand and squeeze some blood onto the doll.
Great. What about the rest of you?
Do we all have to do this?
Well...
I don't know, couldn't hurt. He said to spill blood on it. It'll make it work better.
on the hour every hour.
Oh, right.
I'll go later. I don't really want to be bleeding for 5 hours.
Okay. Now, every time you do the hand cut, you will lose one hit point. But of course, it does seem to be important. So Safina and the two NPCs, and Killinger and the Baron are going to be the first three, right? Is that what we decided?
Yeah.
Okay, so they also cut their hands and squeeze some blood out. What about you, Katorian?
I'm watching this whole business rather dark shudder. I'm kind of horrified at all of this, but so I'm staring, watching.
So you're not going to put blood onto the fetish?
Oh, we have to. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, so I do the hand blood cut thingy.
Okay, so four people then have put blood onto the fetish in the first, before the ritual starts. In another hour's time, apparently, you will need to do it again. So, for maximum efficiency, you lose a hit point. Yes, every time you do it, you lose a hit point. And now, well, here's the interesting thing. To actually learn those weird syllables, everyone will have to make an intelligence roll who's doing it. So, Killinger, he's smart, so that's good. The Baron is also smart.
But I'm a dum-dum.
Okay. Well,
I guess I'm stepping in for her. Am I already stepping in?
Well, no, you can do it.
I mean, I feel like I can say geh.
Yeah.
But not necessarily with the right inflection.
Leviosa.
Exactly. It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
So, Safina, I will allow you to push the roll if you want.
Okay, I'm going to push. I got to push. I got to do this. This is like the final. God.
No.
This is only five, though. Oh, no, I can't. Right, I can't spend luck on it now.
No, you can't spend luck. Okay, so look, you can still do it, but you're not going to be pronouncing it very accurately. That's the only issue.
Probably going to be a scenario where a Katorian's like, oh my god, you're not saying it right. You're going to fuck it up. Let me.
Well, you can try practicing it, and maybe the others can hear that you're. Let's see what the others do. So, yes. Killinger and the Baron, they start practicing it and saying the words in this very. In the same way, and the Katorian and Eckhart, you can hear that Safina,
you're not saying it right.
I'm trying.
It's Leviosa.
It's not geh, it's geh. And not, and Londo, not Lundo. Let me do it. You stand guard. All right, so we make sure the door is closed and locked.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Is there a chair or anything? The room is bare, right?
The room is bare, but maybe you can pull that big stove off the wall and shove that.
I don't want to make that much noise.
Okay. No, you can definitely, maybe the doctor can go out and get a bench or something from the hallway or something like that.
Okay, cool.
You can definitely jam the door. That's a very sensible idea.
All right.
Keep it nice and private.
So then I'll step in and do the...
Okay. So... The first thing you need to do, all active participants must pay a d4 plus 3 magic points, which probably doesn't mean very much to any of you, but roll a d4 anyway. You've got plenty of magic points to spare.
Magic points are apparently a thing.
They are a thing. So you lose 5 magic points. At some point in the future, if we carry on playing with these characters, you could potentially learn spells. I know it's kind of a new thing for you, but yeah, it's definitely a thing. They're really very, very dangerous to cast, though. you lose sanity, you lose magic points, you can lose power. Yeah, that is pretty brutal, the magic system. So then, rather more painfully, you need to roll a d4, and that's how many sanity points you lose immediately from starting the chanting.
Of course.
Of course. Well, you are now just two
points away.
Away from indefinite insanity. And the ritual starts, and you start chanting. Shall we all together do the chant?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It'll feel more authentic and less embarrassing.
Okay, so we face east. Assume the wand posture, everyone.
Oh, did we have to put on like white robes or something?
No, you didn't. Assume the wand posture, everyone, and everyone declare geh.
Yeah.
I've been evicted from the circle now, right?
No. I think we should all do it just to make sure it works.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Assume the one posture. Geh.
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 Raise arms at the side.
Londo.
Londo. We really should be doing this in person.
Okay. Touch your right shoulder with your left hand. An odd Micaldo.
Okay, touch the left shoulder with the right hand.
Odd bust.
Keeping arms crossed, bow head, and declare, go ahead. Now, I've no idea what the gesture service would be. So at the first point, we declare, exile. At the second point, we declare, Oral Iba Osby.
Oh god.
Turn to face north, make the gesture declaring Nanta. At the second point,
More Dial.
I don't know how you pronounce that.
Which
one
of us passed our intelligence role there? Yeah.
Turn to face west, make the gesture declaring
Hakoma.
At the second point,
Muslim Arsugail.
Make the gesture declaring Biton. And then the final one,
Oiptia Padose.
Amazing. Now we just got to repeat it for the next 5 hours
until the sun rises.
So you keep chanting and chanting, and something starts to change. The doll in the center, it starts to change. It starts looking like a real doll-sized girl. Its cloth starts turning into skin. Its artificial hair becomes real. And then, towards the end of the first hour, as this gradual transformation takes place, it just stands up on its little feet. And Killinger says, "That is interesting." "I was not expecting that. Ugh. Well, one of us will have to finish the ritual, you know," he says, pointing to the doll. "I don't mind, but if someone wants to perform the act, you are welcome to."
The act?
As in destroying, you know, that thing?
We must destroy the fetish at the end.
And then the doll, or the little tiny doll-sized human girl, looks up at Dwan Killinger and has a little frown on its face.
Oh,
oh man.
Oh boy. So I think this is a good point to leave it, just as you are entering the first hour of the ritual. But yeah. You can feel that everything's going really well right now.
Oh yeah, so well.
Until you hear a thump at the door. And then a voice says, "Please, please, let me in. There are monsters out here. They have chased me up. Please, please, I beg you, I beg you." And then more thumping. And then you hear a growl coming from down the corridor. And that is where we will end it.
Ich habe Ludos rotes Haar, ich habe Salomis Figur, ich hab die Gier der Potiphar. Ich trage Mona Wanners Kleid, den Ring der Marie Antoinette. Ich trag sogar seit einiger Zeit der schönen Helena Korsett. Ich bin das Gift der Medici, bin eine Hexe wie Jeanne d'Arc. Ich trag den Strumpf der Dubarry, ich bade nackt in einem Sarg. Ich bin ein Vertiert. Ich saug die Männer nun aus, ich mache Frikassee.